Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Mike Armstrong podcast show. And this afternoon, we're joined by Claire Hattrick. And Claire is joining us from Hampshire in England, in the UK. And she is an entrepreneur with her own business, Clipboard Claire. And how are you doing today, Claire? You okay?
I'm very well, thank you, Mike. And thank you ever so much for inviting me along to do my first ever podcast. It's great. No, I couldn't be doing it with a nicer person.
Oh, no worries. Well, I get lots of people coming in my room in Clubhouse and speaking on stage for the first time. And I'm often the first person to invite a lot of entrepreneurs onto my podcast. And so they come on and it's their first time a lot of the time. And I love that. I love giving people a chance to speak when they've not been given a chance before. And I love giving people a chance to get on a podcast because, you know, to me, some podcasts is all about trying to get A-list celebrities and top guests and all of that. And to me, everyone's an A-list celebrity. Everyone's a top guest because everyone's got value to give and everyone's got a story to tell. So I'm pretty sure you're going to be the same as that, Claire.
Oh, yeah, I've always got a story to tell, Mike.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Well, you know, most people have. So tell us a little bit, Clipboard Claire. You know, I've come across it a bit on Instagram since we met on Clubhouse. I see you're sharing lots of content all of the time. Tell everyone a little bit about that business and what the intentions are.
Okay, so basically I'm a part-time beauty therapist and I've had really bad joint problems going through and post-menopause. I've got identical twin daughters, Abby and Beth. Abby is a biochemist and Beth is a London paramedic. And they came back, I think it was probably last April, May, and they realised I was really struggling to work. And they said, look, Mum, you've always loved helping other people out and you've always wanted to do a blog. Let's do it. And basically, it was really my girls, because I sat there and said, look, you know, I'm 50, 52 at the time. I'm now 53. I'm not particularly a real, you know, techie. They are absolutely brilliant. Abby built the website. She was just back doing her dissertation for a biochemistry degree. And in her spare time, she built Clipboard Claire. So I kind of write the blogs. And then Beth from Her Little Ambulance, she sometimes runs our Pinterest account. And they've just been brilliant. And we've kind of learned on the job. We've learned as we go. I'm actually an ex-salesperson. I worked, I've always been in the motor trade, actually, before I had the twins. I worked for John Medeski at the Auto Trader. I was one of the 13 field sales executives for the South. We won on numerous occasions, sort of the sales team of the year throughout the UK. So yeah, sales is my background. I'm a real people person. I'm just want to give back. I want to help people out. And I cover topics, anything from children, being a single mum, anything on twins, multiples, through to the menopause, really. We've done a little bit on internet dating. I was asked for a company to write a blog on men's mental health, which was really good. And what I'm hoping to do with it is, if I'm really honest, is pull back from the beauty side of things and make this a full-time job. And we've just literally rebranded it. And we've just about to put a little shop in and try and really make some money from it and monetize this blog. So that's a bit about me, Mike.
Oh, that's good. So obviously your sales background will help you with trying to monetize the blog, because that's the thing, is a lot of creatives create the content and they don't know how to monetize it. And you know, I'm on the same mission to monetize my podcast. And you know, it's about finding somebody who wants to reach out to your audience. So understanding what your audience is, and understanding, you know, who it's valuable to, and then picking up the phone and going to see those people and you know, trying to strike a deal.
Absolutely. I mean, that's what I love about Clipboard Claire. It's kind of from anybody that's pregnant, new parents to be. I cover a lot on special care baby unit, because Beth was born, unfortunately, with kidney failure. She's the London paramedic now. And thank God, touch wood, she's in really, really good health now. And, you know, anything through from anybody that's got children, aunties, uncles, nans, granddads, grannies, there's loads for the kids to do on there. I don't know whether you noticed the other day we did a blog on St. Patrick's Day and things for kids to do. Obviously, while we're still in lockdown, you've still got lots of little ones at home. We're just about to hit Easter. I think that blog went up on Sunday. Obviously, we're still on lockdown. What can everybody do? So I kind of lay in bed at night, wrap my brains thinking, right, do you know what? I've got a really good idea for Easter. Let's have a, you know, everybody run a little festival, a little music festival in their back garden. So lots of ideas, twinkly lights, and just trying to lift people's moods, really. And I just love helping people. I'm a bit like you, Mike. I think that's probably why we get on. I'm a giver and not a taker.
Yeah, that's it. Well, it's always good to give. It's nice to receive now and then as well, but I prefer to give. I think giving makes you feel good. And, you know, I think allowing, I don't particularly do anything to get anything back. I just want to see someone pay it forward and just let keep the energy going, like, you know what I mean? If
But you've got a really kind heart, Mike, and you absolutely give more than you take, and you don't have to do these, you know, these rooms that you do, and you leave people in charge. I've run your room a couple of times now. I've kind of been me and Swampy, we've been left running a bit of clubhouse, and it's just great because everybody takes real pride in making sure that, you know, the rooms run as you would want it to be run, and that you've trusted us to, you know, to carry on running it. So yeah, love it. And it's a real privilege to have met you on there, Mike.
Oh, it's a privilege to have met you as well. And it sounds to me like Clipboard Claire is gonna, you know, go from strength to strength. Obviously, I guess there's lots of diversification that you could do with that. You know, you could do Clipboard Claire events, or, you know, mother and children events, or, you know, family events, or something like that you could do. There's something else which I think you might be able to do, which I think would be good, is you could plug in advertisers. You know, there's a thing called AdSense where you can basically get people, sponsors, brands who are interested in your clientele, you know, your mums and daughters and that sort of thing, children's activities, all those sort of things. You could get those on your website in various different pages as banner ads and monetize your blog.
We're kind of on that, but until it was really rebranded and we had it exactly where we wanted it to be, and we've just got to make sure that everything's working. We put our little shop in, but the thing that we're after is people to sign up and read the blog. And at the moment, I think once you start hitting 10,000 followers, I mean, I think we've hit 4,500 views a month on Pinterest. We've got just under 1,000 people signed up directly to Clipboard Claire, so they get an email newsletter every Sunday, because that's the most popular day for bloggers to post their blogs. You know, we've got some really good ideas, but all we need is people to follow, just to sign up to Clipboard Claire. And the most amazing thing is, Mike, it's free. Yeah. It doesn't cost any menopausal women. And men need to know what's going on. It's a horrendous time for us women, and we shouldn't expect men to understand it when we don't. I think Davina McCall's just about to do a really big program on the television. So I kind of, I've been messaging her frantically on Instagram. And Jo Wicks, that again, there's a big gap in the market for I love going to the gym. I've always been a gym bunny, but there is, women train very differently. I can't push lots of heavy weights anymore. My joints have absolutely had it, but there's big gaps in the market. I think he should do a Meno Lean in 15, you know, a menopause book, but I keep messaging him. I'm driving him mad until he picks up that message and messages me back. I'm on it.
Yeah, definitely. But I think the other thing which you could do as well is you could offer guest posting. So anyone who's got anything to do with, you know, kids and parenting and activities and all that sort of stuff that fits in, you could actually offer guest posting services to other brands and bloggers and businesses, and you could charge for that, the guest posting service, and they could put a link in their guest posting, so they post it on your blog with a link back to their website or their business and that sort of thing. So that's an advertising revenue that you can get as well, which would be good. And there's something else which you could do as well, which I was thinking, so guest posting. You could have.
We've actually done a few guest blogs, Mike, for other people as well. We haven't got paid, but because you need your DA, your domain authority, to, and your search engine optimization, we've been changing all the headings of our blogs. We've really turned the whole thing around, and we've had a few people that we've done guest blogs for. But I think until we get our audience up, it's going to be very difficult to charge people to advertise on it. But we're not far off there. But I just need, you know, I need Clipboard Claire out there, and we just need people to sign up, and then the world's our oyster.
Yeah, definitely. And the other thing which you could do as well is product reviews. So quite a lot of bloggers do product reviews. And so you could do like product reviews for things like board games and activities and, you know, events and all that sort of stuff, because, you know, that's what you're sharing a lot of content around. So that's what the readers and the listeners and the viewers, they're all going to be interested in that type of product and service and that. And so those product suppliers and advertisers, et cetera, would be interested in coming onto your platform. So you should look at a few other similar type blogs and look at what they're charging. And because your numbers are maybe a little bit less, just pro rata the price. You know, so start off with a lower price and then build it over time.
Yeah, we've just actually, because I'm a beauty therapist, we've just launched a beauty products of the week. So every week, you know, this week we put up a Bobbi Brown enriched face cream. So every time we're on, you know, any of our socials, we're sort of hashtagging Bobbi Brown in. So we've got affiliate links in there as well. If you read any of the blogs, that was what we were frantically working literally all over Christmas and the new year. We're working with Amazon and Waterstones and Wiggle Fitness people. And I think we've got about 25 people. But again, you need people to read the blogs. But definitely advertising is definitely a way forward for us. And trying to get people to guest blog on ours. And again, we kind of need to put links in. So we pick up their audience, they pick up our sort of thing. But there's some really good ideas there, Mike. I didn't think about the product services as well. That's actually a really good one, like board games and things like that. That's a really good one.
A good way for you to start with that is review some products that you're probably not going to get through and get to pay as advertisers. So review some products and showcase to other products and competitive products the sort of reviews that you can do. So like, for example, it might be hard to get hold of Monopoly, for example, but you could do a review of Monopoly, and then some up and coming board games might go contact you and go, I want a review of you to do a review on my board game.
So that's actually a really good idea, Mike. Yeah. I didn't think about that. That's a really good idea.
Yeah. And also do a lot of promotional swaps with similar bloggers and similar size businesses and stuff. So you basically say, well, listen, do you put an advert for my site on your site and I'll put one on my site for you. So exchange adverts and stuff like that as well. And then another thing which you could do as well, have you done a podcast or YouTube channel yet?
No, haven't got that far yet, Mike.
But they're great.
Do you think we should then?
Well, they're great ways to drive traffic to your blog, yeah? Because what you could do is you can talk about the highlights in your blog posts and then you can, you know, direct them to the full blog post.
Yeah. Didn't think about that. Where do you put your podcasts, Mike? Do you just put them everything on YouTube?
No, so I do the audio into Anchor, which then posts it to all the major podcast stations. So any podcast store you go to, if you search for my podcast, I'm in there. That's the Mike Armstrong podcast show, or my full title is Mike Armstrong You Can Do It podcast. But I just call it the Mike Armstrong podcast show for quickness, because you'll find it that way. But then, so the podcast goes to all the podcast stores, and then I grab the video, stick it into YouTube, and then from the podcast store and YouTube, I then share it to my social media. So 1 45-minute chat like this, which is really a networking follow-up, is when I meet somebody. It's the sort of thing a lot of people do on Zoom, just to follow up, to get to know each other. But I'm actually recording it, putting the audio in my podcast, the video in my YouTube, and then I'm creating social media content from all of that content. Yeah. So it's all one big long snowball effect. Like, you know, everything's feeding everything else. And ultimately, it's all there to drive traffic to a website. So my website is high ranking, high domain authority, because one, I've been doing it for quite a long time. I got a few websites, but I got lots of links and stuff. But also, I drive traffic from all my social media. I drive traffic from all my podcasts and YouTube. And I'm all driving traffic to the website all of the time, because that's how you build
authority. I'll have to get Clipboard Claire advert or something on there. I'll write a blog for you.
Well, I'm up for doing an exchange on a link. I do link exchanges with people, which is just putting a link into an existing article or something. Or I do article exchanges, which is getting, you know, you write an article with a link in and I'll put one on your site, because link building is one of the key ways of building domain authority. The more sites you got going into your site, the more the search engines see it as being a big site, like, you know, especially if they're from high domain authority sites, or if they're from bespoke niche sites. So, you know, if they're from other activity type sites, yeah, then that's good. If they're also from charities, so like .org sites, yeah, because .org, they have a higher domain authority naturally, and .gov sites.
So, how long have you been doing this, Mike?
So I've been doing SEO for probably 20 years.
That's why you're so good at it then.
Yeah. I've been doing sales and marketing for 32 years, but I've been doing SEO for 20 years. A lot of people know me as a podcaster, a YouTuber, and a social media influencer. But that's the front end of SEO. Yeah, they're all the things that people see at the front end, but actually they're all things that contribute towards ranking on a website.
Yeah.
The back end, people don't see the SEO bit, they just see the front end bit. Yeah.
Where do you rank at the moment, Mike? How high is high?
I think the last time I looked, I was ranked 2 million in the world or something on my website, which is out of 30 million. Yeah. And that 30 million are only the ranked sites. There's probably somewhere in the region of 300 million unranked sites, because most sites don't rank because they haven't got a big enough matrix to rank, because they're just unknown, because they're just 5-page brochure sites, static sites. Yeah. It's only really once you've got a website starting to rank and got lots of traffic coming that it actually appears in the rankings anyway. So, so 2 million out of 30 million, considering I'm a one-man band, and, you know, most of the top million, for example, are all massive companies.
Yeah, yeah. So how did you hear about Clubhouse, Mike? How did you get onto Clubhouse?
I got involved. Well, I'm a massive networker, so I know lots of people. So I heard it through Tracy, who's a friend of mine in Intrabiz, which is a business network, yeah. But I would have heard it about 20, 30, 40 times probably over the time.
How long have you been on it now, on Clubhouse?
I joined the 7th of January and I've been on it non-stop since.
Oh, so you only joined this year. You're only a few weeks ahead of me then.
But
That's another reason I think, you know, my daughter said, Mum, this just could be massive for us. But, and like I say, we've just about got the site where we want it to be. So I want to run a few more rooms. I do my Thursday 10:30 a.m. GMT time for anything menopause, and then I do my kids, because obviously I've got my clubs on there now. I've got the kids conservatory and the menopause lounge, and we're really getting some good follow up from there. Need to follow Clipboard Claire and sign up. It could be huge. So, you know, I know I need to run a few more rooms.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, I've got my club, but I've got another club which I've set up, which I'm going to start doing rooms in as well, different rooms, because it's about diversifying. You know, at the end of the day, I'm into sales, marketing, networking, social media, which includes Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Pinterest, TikTok, podcasting, YouTubing and Clubhousing. So I could do a room on all of those things. And networking, SEO, you know, so if you really get into the sort of, like, you know, I got probably 10, 12, 15 key subject matters that I could do rooms on. And soon I'm going to start doing those rooms. I also do some joint rooms with a friend of mine, Gareth. We do a drones and innovation room. And I'm doing another one today at 6 o'clock with another friend of mine, which is going to be on finance. So I'm, because I like networking with all sorts of businesses and all sorts of
industries. Yeah.
I partner up with different people. That way then you're going to be connected to more people.
Yeah, absolutely. I love it. I've got a bit tied into doing a bit of moderating with people, but I've kind of pulled back on that a bit because I want to get out there and go into different rooms. And like you say, you know, it doesn't take much to get up on a stage. I prefer the smaller rooms, but if you can get into a big room and just pick up a few hundred followers for your club, that's just going to be brilliant.
Well, I that's the bit I've missed, because I've done a 24/7 room for 8 weeks now. I've been on the system for 10 weeks, so because I'm in that room a lot, I'm not doing a lot of exploring. but I am starting to be more creative with setting up different themes and titles and stuff now. I'm doing some joint.
But people come to you, Mike. You're lucky. You get a lot of different people that come into you. I think they just love the title of your room. Very clever. Screw the big rooms. I think it's really, really clever because that took my notice. I thought, do you know what? I think that's how people feel. You can go in and listen to Elon Musk, let's be honest, but if you can get in, but you're never going to get to really speak to him. And you can hear him talk on the news. I like to like you, meet different people. And not necessarily that I'm going to necessarily get to sign up, but just to be a people person, especially with lockdown. I think it's absolutely brilliant, Clubhouse.
Yeah, that's it. It sends the genuine people in, because the people who get fed up in the big rooms are the authentic people who want to just connect with people and speak to people. And you know, they feel they got some value, because that's why they like screw the big rooms. Like, you know what I mean? Because like the big rooms don't appreciate their value. And if you like, and you know, a lot of people get disrespected, if you like, because, you know, especially in some of the big rooms by some of the moderators sometimes are ego driven, and because they maybe been a bit more successful in this area of life or that area of life, they think they're better than other people sometimes. Not all of them, there's some nice, you know, big room moderators as well, as there are everywhere, but that's the flavor that a lot of people come into my room and say, is that, you know, they don't feel like they've got a voice, they don't feel like they can be heard, they don't feel like they can stand on the stage or speak or whatever. And like, for me, I'm a people person, I like people. And so they'll always have a space on my stage where they can come on. And just like some people will be like, why would you have that person on your podcast or whatever? You know, what have they done or whatever? I'm like, well, they started a business. You know what I mean? They might be in the early stages of their business.
And you never know where they get. They always say, exactly, be careful that you might be seeing them on your way down. They might be on their way up. So, and it's all about just being a decent human being, isn't it? And I love seeing people succeed who maybe, you know, we take somebody like Joe Wicks. I mean, he used to turn up, I think it was at Wimbledon Common or one of the Commons, and for years nobody turned up, but he never gave up at it, and he deserves every bit of success that he's got now. Absolutely, you know, take my hat off to him.
Exactly, and so I've had unknowns and new startups and businesses and whatever on my podcast. Who knows where those people will end up? You know, they might be my best-selling, my best-viewed YouTube video in time.
It's going to be me. Mike.
You might be super famous in the future. So some people would be like, oh, why would you have that person on your podcast? What have they done? I'm like, they started a business. what other sort of accolade do they need? You know, they've got off their backside and they've done something about, you know, a passion or something, like, you know, or solving a problem or whatever. So, you know,
back to Clubhouse, Mike, I think there's about a million people a week joining. I mean, I still don't think it's massive in the UK. It's massive in America. But, I mean, a million people a week joining. The world's got to be your oyster, hasn't it? Especially for us bloggers and podcasters.
Yeah, I've called it Screw the Big Rooms because, you know, I'm not a massive fan of the way a lot of the big rooms conduct themselves, but I'm not bothered in my words to go to a big room. I'd prefer to stay at the medium room and not go big, but the club's going to be big, whether the room is or not. I think a lot of people don't like big rooms. So once it starts to get to 30, 40, whatever, people do leave. But over time, you know, my room will be decent size, but I don't want it to be too big because it's difficult to manage then. And that's you know, some of the things that the people complain about the big rooms because they come in my room and they complain about them all the time. And what they claim about is they can't raise their hand and get on the stage. And then if they do get on the stage, they ask a question and then they're given a very short answer and then they're off the stage again, you know, or they're waiting forever, you know, all those sort of things. So I want to try and make sure that, you know, my room never does those things. Like, you know what I mean?
I've got it, Mike. You are the agony uncle of Clubhouse.
Yeah, that's it.
People they love coming into your room. People, when you haven't been there, your little face, your little emojis there, and then people come in and go, oh, hi, Mike, and someone will go, oh, he's just popped out, he's at the dentist, or he's here, there, and everywhere. And it's just like, everybody just gets chatting and then gets on with it. And that, I think that's very clever that you just go away, you let people run it, and everybody comes back to you, Mike. That's quite a clever ploy.
Yeah, it wasn't like that. It took a bit of time to shape, to keep inviting the moderators, which the moderator thing was a stroke of genius, I think. But I'm still the only one who does it, I think,
because
I'm a moderator. a lot of people don't get it, but I did it because I like everyone to be equal, and I didn't want people to think like, oh, because they're moderators and we're not moderators, they're like special or whatever. I want everyone to feel special. So I make everyone a moderator. But what that really did as well then is meant that people stepped up to the plate of the moderator. So that wasn't the reason I did it. I did it so everyone was level. But actually, some people have actually stepped up, because even though I make everyone a moderator so they're all equal, there still has to be someone steering the ship. There's still got to be a driver or a captain. And because I make people moderators, they step up to that role. And quite often, a lot of them will go off and be moderators elsewhere then. And so they bring their crowds back then. So because I was the first one to make them a moderator, there's that loyalty then. It's like, oh, well, I always go back to this room because, you know, you're the first person to let me on the stage, the first one to make me a moderator. There's that sort of loyalty. So I get that sort of brand loyalty, if you like, to the room. And intentionally, I didn't do it for that brand loyalty. I did it to just put everyone on an equal playing field.
And it also keeps the conversation going as well, doesn't it? If you've got people that ping into the room and you automatically come up a moderator, you're straight into the conversation, aren't you?
Yeah, exactly. And the reason I did it as well, the second reason, which I got to learn over time, is that once you are made a moderator, you can go off and you can come back and you're still on the stage. And because it's, it's a 24/7 room rather than just an hour one, people do that. They go off and then they come back. It's a bit like having like a pass or something on your wrist, isn't it? You haven't got to worry about getting into the order.
It makes them feel important, Mike. It's working.
Yeah, it's like a VIP sort of thing. It's like, oh, well, you can just come back whenever you want to and you're on the stage. And people like that. And also, because I'm not like nitpicker, you know, I don't mind if people hang around on the stage and they're just listening, or they pop off and they go somewhere and come back. So, because it's a room that people can do whatever they want to with it. It really,
very relaxed.
Other than be a troll, you know, or be a nuisance, other than that, which I will just kick them out. You know, I've kicked a couple of people out of my room, like two, I think, two in 8 weeks in 24 hours a day, and a few trolls have left after I blocked them and stuff. But yeah, I'm quite relaxed and easygoing, so I'm not bothered if people want to do whatever they want to do. It's like people can come in and plug their clubhouse and plug their rooms and plug their events in the real, plug whatever they want to. I don't care. Come, you know, where some people are like, oh, no, it's my room. Why are you telling my audience about it or whatever? I'm like,
yeah.
That's because some people live in a world of competition. I don't see any competition. I'm all about collaboration. I'm all about helping each other, like, you know what I mean? So I think that's the key, really. So, anyone who's listening to this or watches the video, I think Claire's definitely up for doing some collaborations as well. So that's grow together.
Absolutely.
And we'll do some more collaboration now the site's up and running. I'll have a little look at it and I'll see where I can have a look and give you some suggestions of, you know, where I could go, where you could go on my site, that sort of stuff. I'd be more than happy to do an article on it if you've got any press releases or if you've done anything like that. If not, maybe you should write one. You're writing an article just about how you started your business during lockdown, about why you started it, about what the different content is, because it's all lockdown related, but it's all positive news lockdown related. And there's a lot of journalists out there at the moment looking for content to do with the lockdown and COVID and pivoting. And also, a lot of them would like to feature, I would imagine, you know, the top 10 board games for lockdown, or, you know, you do all that sort of stuff, don't you? I've seen a lot of your activities and all of that. So, you know, I would imagine there's a lot of, like, women's own and, you know, whatever, you know, those sort of women's magazines and... who'd like to do maybe a double page feature on a bit like the story behind the business, but also, you know, with the top 10, you know, board game tips or, you know, top 10 lockdown activities.
Makeup tips. Whatever.
You know, I could see them doing like a double page feature on you, like, you know, because you've got a lot there as content.
So and we've got a broad audience as well.
And so I think you should definitely reach out to places like that. Other places I would reach out to as well is places like Mumsnet.
We've tried. They keep throwing us out because they keep saying we can't self-promote. Yeah, we've got a problem with Mumsnet, but haven't given up yet.
They're big. So the people who are looking to up and come in that sector. Yeah, that's always if you can't get the big boys, just look at who's their competition. who's next in line, because they more likely want a collab, because they're trying to grow to beat Mumsnet. So they'd have a collaboration mindset rather than a sort of protect our territory mindset.
Yeah. We also post on about 70 different Facebook groups as well. A lot of menopause clubs, a lot of kids clubs, twins and multiple clubs. So, you know, we're getting out there.
Yeah, do you put your link in there as well then so they can link back?
Oh, yeah, we post our blogs on there weekly and obviously what's relevant to what topic they're doing. And, yeah, we just keep pushing things. And now we're using Hootsuite and we've kind of got things set up so it's done automatically because obviously it's just me in the day trying to do it. Yeah. Not the best techie in the world, but then my daughter comes back and she'll get on it. My girls are really good. They're kids, they're youngsters. They do it in about 2 seconds.
They get it, yeah.
But I've loved it.
Hootsuite and Buffer are good. And also there's another one which is called If This Then That, IFTTT. Yeah, so IFTTT is like a programming system which basically says you can connect it to loads of your social media accounts. And you could basically say, like, if I post on Facebook, then repost it on Twitter. Yeah. Or if I post on Twitter, then repost it on Instagram or that sort of thing. Is if this, then that. Yeah. So it's just like a programming tool. It links to all of your social media. And so, like, say, for example, you don't post in a Facebook page, but you post in your Facebook personal account. What you could do, if I post in my Facebook personal account, then reshare it to my Facebook page. Yeah. So you can limit how many places you post in. It's a bit like I don't know if you set it up on Instagram stories, but when you've got Instagram stories on an Instagram business account, you can set it so that it posts to Facebook stories.
Yeah.
So you're hitting two birds, one stone, basically. So that's why I set up a lot of that sort of stuff. So I'm into efficiency. I'm into trying to get as much done as I can in as little time as possible. Yeah. And so that's why I use all of these sort of technical tools.
But there isn't one tool that does all the sites, is there? You've got to use two. Like if you want to do LinkedIn, Twitter, Insta, Facebook, there's not one company that does all of them, are there?
No, I think Hootsuite and Buffer do most of them.
We use Hootsuite.
So I use Buffer more than Hootsuite, I think, at the moment, but they're both good. So like at the moment, for example, I used to use If This Then That a long time ago, right? But I haven't been doing a lot of marketing lately because I basically took on my most important client in the start of lockdown, which was me. Yeah. So I spent like the last 8 years before lockdown marketing other people. But what I decided to do at the beginning of lockdown was now is the time for me to go global. I could see the condition being right to go global. So I thought, right, I'm going to take myself on my most important client and just market the backside out of me for the next year, which is what I've done. So I've been marketing myself rather than marketing other clients. But I've taken on a few bit of extra work recently, so helping some friends out and that sort of thing. So I'm back into using my systems again, and using the systems. Like for example, I've got somebody out there helping me post my content onto YouTube. Yeah, because I'm on Clubhouse all the time. And so, for example, like if you're posting onto YouTube or your daughters are, or you get someone else to do it, I've got an agency I'm using, which actually now I'm a partner of. I'm like a white label reseller. So I can get people to do YouTube uploading and podcast uploading, which is what I'm going to look to do, add to my business. I'm going to look to add to that.
And
basically what I've got now, I've got an if this then that, which says if I post a new video to YouTube, then share it to Facebook. And then I've got it if I post a new video to YouTube, then share it to Twitter. So as I'm paying for them to post the videos onto YouTube, but then when they post it on YouTube, it's triggering social media posts then as well.
That's
what I'm all about. It's about...
It's less time consuming, isn't it? Because that's what we're finding. By the time you make the posts up and they fit Instagram and they don't fit Facebook. So, yeah, we've started to use Hootsuite. I can't think who the other... Is it Tailwind?
I don't know. I've been using Hootsuite and Buffer for years when they were the only two. Hootsuite's American and Buffer's English, and they're both British. And they both do similar sort of things, but they some of them got different features than the other and that sort of thing. But I when I downloaded them again recently, because I haven't used them for a while, like I said, I downloaded them again recently, and there was about five or six others that come up in the App Store, which weren't around when I did it. Okay. So I've downloaded them all, and I'll play around with them on the weekend, and I'll just see which ones do, because I think there was one I seen, the icons with TikTok. So you know, I've never seen a TikTok scheduler before. So yeah, I love playing around with that sort of stuff. So unless you play around with it, you don't know if it's going to be the best one or not.
And some of them are free, aren't they? Some of them you've got to pay an awful lot more for. So
a lot of them are free when you're early adopters, and then they get charged for later. But sometimes you can keep them at a lower price or whatever because you were early adopters. I'm usually an early adopter, so. It's like Canva. I think Canva charges now, but I've still got a free account with Canva because I've been using it for a long time.
Oh, have you? No, yeah. We've got to pay for Canva now, but it's good and it's quick. You can design stuff up relatively quickly. So,
yeah, I love Canva. There's another one which is really good, which is for videos, which is called Ripple, R-I-P-L.
Yeah. Writing all this down, Mike.
No worries. So, I play around. Like, I got probably something like 150 apps on my phone.
Wow.
Which is because I've always.
You are the king of tech, Mike.
I've been using my phone for 9 years as my office. And I stopped using my laptop other than 10% of the time. I only used to use my laptop for doing back end website work and also Excel. Other than that, I did everything on my phone. But I've actually started using my laptop a lot more since the lockdown because of Zoom, you know, and I started podcasting. So now I use my phone as my office and Zoom as my recording, and a laptop and Zoom as my recording studio.
Yeah, slightly bigger. That's a good idea.
So that's pretty much it. That's all you need is a phone and a laptop, and that's all you need to
create a business. Yeah, you run it from anywhere.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That is my mission, is to go to the sun at some point. So that's why I do work that is could be done from anywhere, because at some point I'm going to go to the sun and do it on the beach.
Oh, whereabouts are you going? Where do you want to go then, Mike?
I'd like to go to either southern Spain or Miami.
Nice. I think anywhere would be nice, but it's lovely. It's lovely today. What's the weather like where you are? It's glorious.
It's quite sunny. It's been sunny most of the day. I went out for an hour and a half walk today, and that was really nice. But I quite like Ibiza, and Miami's supposed to be like Ibiza. So I'd love to live in Ibiza, but it's really, really expensive. I don't know if Miami's any better.
Yeah.
I've never been to Miami, but I'm going to go there soon.
Oh, that'd be lovely. Yeah, once we get out of lockdown. But until we do, Mike, we'll still be on Clubhouse, holding it together, hopefully.
Yeah, that's it. So what's your plans for the future yourself, Eva? You know, work-wise or, you know, with the business?
As I'm getting older, I would love to bring a Give a Beauty up now. I kind of feel I've done it for a long time now. I kind of think when you work for yourself, I've reached where, you know, I don't want to go and work for anybody else now.
No.
I've reached where I, as far as and high up as I can reach. And so now I really would like Clipboard Claire to take off massively so we can help people out. As long as it pays a few bills, I would be happy. I love helping people out.
Yeah.
Especially single mums. You know, that was the whole idea of launching Clipboard Claire. Launched the 31st of July last year, you know, in the middle of lockdown. And we really couldn't have launched it at a better time. I think we've just had so many more people reading it. You know, that's my worry when we lift lockdown. Everybody's going to be, I think Clubhouse will get a bit quieter. I think when everybody's gone back to work a bit, but I'm hoping some of the dead wood will leave. And
I'm actually looking forward to that time because I'll still stay on, and I think the strong will survive. I think, you know, I'm always up for that. You know, bit of cleansing, bit of getting rid of the dead wood. But it's like when everyone set up a club 2 weekends ago or whatever. You know, some of those clubs will just be dead. Like, you know what I mean? Nothing will happen with some of them, and over time, the strong clubs will survive, and the rest will just get by the wayside. Like, you know. But
do you think Facebook will set up in competition? I have heard a rumor that Facebook are trying to set up something similar.
Yeah, well, Twitter have already set up their Twitter Spaces, and definitely, I predicted early on that all of the platforms will have an audio version in them by the end of this year.
Do you think it'll be that quick?
Yeah, because it was too big a threat. They're all too big companies for them not to take the threat seriously. Because you had Elon Musk go in, you had Bill Gates go in, you had Mark Zuckerberg go in. Yeah, that tells you, that is too big a threat. You got Grant Cardone in it, and lots of top billionaires and top players in the world in this platform. And I actually think it's probably going to be the best thing to happen to the platform, because it'll stop the rapid growth, it'll stop the mass market getting in. And I think the real key to Clubhouse and the success is two real keys to it. One is that you can do it all day long whilst doing other things because of the static picture. And then the other one I think was really helped with the type of audience it got was the restricted invite system.
Yeah.
Because it meant that people only give their invite to, sort of good people. Yeah, and it's kept the influencers, the movers and shakers in most sectors are on Clubhouse. And once the mass market was to join, it would be hard to find those people in amongst everybody else, which is what Facebook is, Twitter is, LinkedIn is, yeah? Mm. But now you haven't got to find them in amongst everyone else. They're just everywhere, yeah? These other platforms creating replica systems, which is what's going to happen, will stop the mass market going into Clubhouse. So Clubhouse will stay as frozen in time at which actually may be the best thing to happen to it.
Do you think they're going to be a market leader, Clubhouse?
Well, I think they're already a market leader. For people who like to speak, which is the 40-year-old plus generation, they're definitely a market leader because, speaking, we all grew up with the phone.
Yeah, this is what I said about my girls. They can't cope. They hide behind a phone, don't they? They don't speak, these kids. It's so bad for this. Is good for mental health, Clubhouse.
Well, they're the ones who are still going to stay on Instagram. They're still going to stay texting and posting and all that, because that's what they have grown up with. But the 40 to 70-year-olds, they all prefer to speak rather than text.
Yeah.
I prefer to do podcasting than blogging. I did blogging for 15 years and I much prefer podcasting. I've been doing podcasting for a year. I've almost stopped. I haven't stopped blogging, but I've just stopped doing it often. I just post something now and then.
You don't have enough hours in the day, Mike.
No. But I might... I'm going for a world record-breaking attempt, aren't I, on the podcast this 1 year. My 1 year anniversary's up, and then I'm going to drop my level down from doing 950 episodes this year. I'll probably just do 150 next year, just a normal ratio, like normal people, like three a week or something. And then I'll probably pick up my blogging a bit more, and I'll probably at some point drop Clubhouse down a bit as well, because at the moment I do like 17, 18-hour days on Clubhouse. Minus half hour year for lunch and the odd hour year for podcasting. I'm doing, pretty much when I'm awake. But at some point, once I've built my club up to a certain size and I've got that consistency and continuity, and I know when I set up a club, there'll be a decent number of people and all that. Once I get to those sort of numbers, I probably will pull it down and maybe just do 12-hour days or something like that. Because 12-hour days is a lot. That's not long for me, because Clubhouse, I see it as being half work and half play. It's half
social.
Yeah, so 12 hours is just 6 hours of work and 6 hours of play. That's like nothing. But, that's how I see things. I see things as like, while I'm working, I see it as if it's something I would do anyway, then I just see it as play. And then if you can get that if you can get that mindset into your head so that everything you're doing is like playtime, and you can work all the hours under the sun, but it doesn't matter because it's not really working, it's playing.
Yeah. And like you say, you can do other things while you're doing it, can't you?
Yeah, exactly. I often have the TV on in the background and I'm watching the TV. I might be watching the Sky Sports News or something, or a football match or something.
Or the rugby,
yeah. But that's the thing, you can multitask. I've started now in lockdown. The first 2 months, I wasn't really going out and about much, but this last March now, this month, because the weather's been nice, and I'm going out walking with my earphones in, and I'm on Clubhouse listening and chiming in every now and then, but mostly listening and just going for a nice walk and stuff. So
yeah,
if you can find
a way, keep mental health up, Mike. That's what it's about, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah, you've got to. You know, I'm a Libra, and anyway, everything I do is balanced. So even though I might do long work hours, in my head I'm socializing, so it's balanced.
Yeah. And it's enjoyable, like you say. It's just, it's great fun. I've loved Clubhouse. It's really good fun. Just met some really nice people. But if I can get Clipboard Claire off the ground, that will be the cherry on the icing on the cake and take a lot of pressure off.
Yeah, definitely. Good. The way I see Clubhouse is just like the way I run it in my rooms is just like going to the pub. The only thing is you can't drink. It's healthier than going to the pub because you haven't got to buy a bite. So you haven't got to buy a bite. You could just sit there. It's like going to a pub if there was no bar service. You know, you just go in there and chat with the community and talk about the football, the rugby, politics, business, whatever. Just chat with people. That's what I see Clubhouse like. So that's why I can do all the hours under the sun, because I'm just going to the pub, really. and I don't drink alcohol, but I am drinking water. A part of my balanced lifestyle is drinking plenty of water.
Yeah.
So I'm just drinking water all day, like, you know, get the water in you.
Absolutely. Keep you fit, keep you healthy, keep us going a bit longer, eh, Mike?
exactly, like, you know. So tell everyone again how they can get in touch with you and connect with you and follow you if they want to find out more about Clipboard Claire.
So we are at www.clipboardclaire.com. We are on Facebook, Clipboard Claire. We are on Instagram and Twitter and LinkedIn, all at Clipboard Claire. It's totally free for anybody to have a look at our blogs. They're not very long reads, so even the male population can keep up with all the menopause ones. And our aim is just to help one person. If it helps one person, it's worth writing our blogs. Lots on there for kids, through from pregnancy through to the menopause. So go and have a look, check it out. If you fancy collabing, give me a shout.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, well, and definitely check out Claire on Clubhouse, doing lots of events with lots more coming. And I would stay and chat with you longer, but I'm 10 minutes late for my 4 o'clock.
Oh, it's been lovely, mate. It's an absolute pleasure and a privilege to be on your podcast. I've absolutely loved it. It's been really good, mate. And you've given me some great information. My daughter will be back from work soon, so I'll be giving her a bit of paper,
and get her to follow me. Whoever does your Facebook in, get them to follow me on Facebook. I'm on there as Mike Armstrong twice and Michael Armstrong once, right? And if she follows all of those accounts, when you post, if you tag me in, I get notified of it, and then I can share your content to some of my pages, including I've got an over 50s news page, which would be good for the menopause stuff.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Ladies news and fashion page, which would be good for everything that you do. And I've got a few business pages and London pages and UK pages and that sort of thing.
So one thing I want to ask you, Mike, is I want you to follow me on Clubhouse. I can never get you into that room. You've got to unfriend someone and pick me up on Clubhouse.
Yeah, well, I didn't know I wasn't following you, but now I do. I'll find someone to unfriend and I'll follow you. So
yeah, you're not, because I can't tag you into any of my rooms or anything, but that'd be really great if you do that, Mike. I'd be really grateful.
I'll do that straight now, but it's a pain in the backside, this 2,500 limit. I reached it after 3 weeks, and for the last like 6-7 weeks, I've not been able to do anything to follow anyone. Like, you know, I follow everyone on Instagram, but I can't follow them anywhere else. It's a pain.
Anyway, look me up,
Clipboard Claire. I'll follow you now, and thanks very much for coming on my podcast. And
thanks you, Mike. It's been a pleasure.
No problem at all. I look forward to seeing you on Clubhouse.
You will. Thanks again, Mike.
Bye bye.
Thanks, Mark. Bye.